Paul, he closes with this statement concerning the Lord and peace. It's just a few words, but I believe it's important to make much of these few phrases. You know that if you've been with us through the study of 2 Thessalonians, that Paul is dealing with some heavy things, some things that potentially could be very difficult and hard for the believer. Challenging things concerning the second coming of Christ and what's that going to be like? Has it already happened? False teachers that are teaching things that are not true, trying to make Paul say certain things that he didn't say or didn't write. So as Paul wraps this up, he closes with these words in verse 16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." Now, you see peace is repeated there. You see it twice. Twice in this same sentence. I know that when I walk away from reading a statement like that, I'm thinking about peace. And I believe what Paul is doing through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, what the Spirit is doing, I should say, is he wants the church to walk away from this discussion about the coming of the Lord with peace. With a peace in their life, but it's even more than that, with the Lord of peace being present in their lives. Looking here at for this first statement, now the Lord of peace. You know what? I want you to know something. My Lord, my God, is the Lord of peace. That's my God. That's who he is. Now, amongst a whole bunch of other things, but you know what? That's what he wants me to think about today. And that's what he wants you to think about today. My God is the Lord of peace. Now, we can think about peace in many different directions. We live in a world that's got wars, riots, troubles, difficulties in our homes, financial woes. So people are chasing after peace. People are looking for it, and they long to see people getting along. They long to see battles cease. They long for tranquility. But I don't have to tell you this, you know this, that God has very clearly told us that our world is full of trouble and going to be so. And yet, my God's the Lord of peace. Does that mean I gotta wait for that peace? Are we just going to have to do we just endure and wait? Or is he the Lord of peace right now? You got to think about that. You got to reckon with that. I have to reckon with that. Anytime that you are thrust into temptation to not believe God and to believe fearful things, anxiety, anytime that troubles arise and distract you, you come to the point of asking the question, well, who's my God? And can I truly be at peace? As Christians, I believe it is important that we have a right understanding of the Lord of peace. As we think about this I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 15. Now, one of the things that I do and I study and different topics arise, or such as peace, I think about, well, how is peace defined by the Bible, by the Scriptures? Where does it first appear? Where do we find peace rising up? And of course, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is what? You should know this. Shalom, right? Shalom. And so in Genesis chapter 15, context is the calling of Abraham, the covenant with Abraham. And I found it interesting that, according to my research here, that this is the first time that we see shalom in the Scriptures. We see that Abram is desiring for God to provide him a child, because God had promised that in the beginning of chapter 15. Abraham suggests Eliezer, his servant, his steward. But the word of the Lord, verse 4, came unto him and said, "This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him forth, verse 5, and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Key phrase, key point. Verse 7, and he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought you up out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Verse 9, and he said unto him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he took unto him all these, divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." You might say, "Pastor, what's the big deal about that?" This is where the Bible first mentions this thought, concept, idea of peace. And he is talking here about Abram, and Abram, when he is dying, he goes to his fathers in peace. Well, how else could you go to your fathers? How else can you die? How else can you approach the end of your life? In great turmoil, in great troubles, in great fear, having no idea what's going to happen next. But what I love that God does with Abram is he calls him forth. And Abram believes God. But what God does is he ministers to him peace. In his dying days, he is at peace. This is a precious gift that God has given, that we can know the truth. And that truth about God ministers into our hearts a peace and a calmness. No matter what is going on around, we can go on, because our God is the Lord of peace. As we continue this thought, I want us to go to Judges chapter 6. Because when Paul tells the church that now the Lord of peace, I believe that the church would have, if they had studied at all the Old Testament, they would have come to understand some of the names of the Lord. And so one of the names of the Lord is found in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 tells us the account of Gideon. Now, God was calling up Gideon. God wanted Gideon to deliver his people. Gideon didn't see himself as all that great. He was one of the low of his family. So Gideon was asking for some confirmation from the Lord. And God gave that confirmation. And picking up in verse 22 of Judges chapter 6, we read, "And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shalt not die.' And then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet an Ophrah of the Abiezrites." Why would Gideon call this place Jehovah Shalom? The Lord is my peace. Wow. It is because the Lord God chose to minister peace into his life. Now, the world wasn't at peace around him. His people were in turmoil. They were under the control of the enemies, and the enemies were robbing them of all of their produce. Gideon was being called forth to lead a great victory over the enemies. And what did God do? God ministered unto him peace. God ministered himself unto Gideon. Know me. I am the Lord of peace. I don't know what all is going on in your life today, but I pray that this name of God, Jehovah Shalom, is a sweet balm to your heart and to the troubles and turmoils that may be in your life. Do not forget that your God is the Lord of peace. In the Psalms, Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8, we read these words, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Psalm 119 verse 165 tells us this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7 tell us these words, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God is giving us today a survey of peace throughout the Bible, a survey of himself as the Lord of peace. something else that the Lord said, we find in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." He repeats that in Isaiah 57, verse 21, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So there are people, listen, there are people in our world today that do not know peace. True peace, because they don't know the Lord of peace. And I trust, church, you understand the incredible benefit of knowing God, that you might know Him and know true peace, because He is the Lord of peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. That's just not for Gideon. But that's for the rest of us as well. Paul tells the church of Thessalonica, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace." See, not only is my God the Lord of peace, in other words, his identity is wrapped up in this, but my God is the giver of peace. He gives it. That's an incredible personal expression of the Almighty God unto us as His people, unto His church. "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means." That's how God wants to minister to His saints and to His people. He wants to minister peace into our lives. That speaks of the tenderness and the graciousness of our great God. How has He ministered peace, given peace in your life, given peace to you? That's a good mental journey. It's a good thing to meditate and to contemplate and to think about, because, listen, He does do that. He does minister peace into us. He gives us peace. With a message like this, it could be easily misconstrued that we walk away from this and we expect everything to just be perfect. Just be all right. And this is where we come to come face to face with the reality that God tells us, "I am with you always." And if God is with us always, then that means the Lord of peace is there. And if the Lord of peace is there with us, it's not going to matter that the waves are raging and the storms are hard, because we have the Lord of peace who gives us peace always, by all means. Now, so we get this. My God is the Lord of peace. My God is the giver of peace. My God is the presence of peace. Notice it says the Lord with you all. Do you practice the presence of God? By that, what do I mean? Do you live life as if you are living in the very presence of God? Because we are. The Lord be with you all. So why would Paul say something like that? Because theologically, as a Christian, right, we know the Lord is with us. Right? Theologically, that's the theological truth of it all. The Lord is with us. So why would he say, "The Lord be with you all"? Because we don't always live that way. I don't. I don't always live practicing that God, the very reality that God is with me. But I do know that when I am, boy, what a difference it makes. You see, it just shows that God in the inspired word understands our humanity. That the theological truths, they're there and we may have them, but we don't always practically live them out. And we need his word to remind us, the Lord be with you all. You know, as we pray so often, a common phrase that we pray for one another is, Lord, be with so-and-so. Right? How often have we prayed that? Lord, be with brother so-and-so as they go on this visit. Or be with my sister as she goes to work. Whatever it might be. Now, theologically, I know the Lord's with her. So why do I pray that? God, as she goes to work, may she know that the Lord is with her. Oh God, may the Lord of peace give her peace always and by all means. That's our God. And this is some of the phrases that we can use in our own prayers. I love taking scripture and praying it back to God. Because you know, when I pray, I want to be in the will of God, right? And so should you. You want to pray according to his infinite will. His mighty will. And what better thing to do is than to pray the very scriptures. Pray them right back to God. We looked at several places in the Old Testament about peace. Hear these words from the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 14. As Jesus is ministering comfort to his disciples right before he is arrested, put on trial, and the next day killed, he tells them about the Spirit whom he is going to send to dwell within them. And at the end of John chapter 14, he tells them these words in verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Over to John chapter 16 and verse 33, we read these words. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's not me speaking. This is Jesus speaking. But he speaks with the authority of a mighty conqueror. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. As we celebrate peace today, that we celebrate the Lord of peace, who is the giver of peace, whose very presence is peace in our life. Hear what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, church, as Paul closes this letter, the last one that we have to the Thessalonians, he leaves them with these words of peace. He tells them, I've written this closing with my own hand. And then he gives the common closing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, we could do a whole sermon on that one, the grace. But today, I believe God wants us to think and contemplate peace. Are you at peace in your life today? Are you at peace with God? I want to begin there. That's important. Are you at peace with God? So in other words, as you contemplate yourself, your person, and God, is there a peace that exists between Him and you? Because if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ by faith and what He did for you upon the cross, then there is a barrier between you and God, God called sin. And God in His justice says that sin must be punished, and that punishment is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we can have peace with God. And I pray that everyone here in this place today has a peace with God. And if you don't today, then you come to the Lord and you confess to Him, I am a sinner. I have sinned. I've offended you as the holy God. I see that sin as punishable by death. But Lord Jesus, God, you sent your Son that I might have life, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. And you communicate this to God, calling out to Him, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In salvation, there is peace. So today we celebrate the Lord of peace. In our hearts, we can have a true tranquility in our relationship with Him because of Jesus and what He's done upon the cross and the resurrection. He's alive. We can have a peace as we walk through this world of tribulations and troubles because the Lord of peace is the giver of peace and His presence is with us. So therefore, we have every reason to be at peace. I need your help because I'm not always at peace in my heart. Would you remind me that my God is the God of peace? Would you do that? Would you remind me that my God is the giver of peace? Would you remind me that my God is the very presence of peace in my life? That my Lord is with me. God is reminding you today. Hear Him. Believe His word. Lord, what a blessing it is to celebrate peace today. A peace with you. Thank you. And dear God, as we wrap up this time together today, I am convinced in my heart you want me to pray for this one other matter. I pray, Father, for our nation. Because as we have just celebrated the Lord of peace here, our nation is a wreck, a turmoil and trouble. God's in so many across our great land, we are celebrating life. And we are celebrating this decision that was brought down from this highest court in our land. But there are so many others in our land, God, that see things so differently. And Lord, we cannot expect them really to see it much differently because they do not know you and they are not at peace with you. And so we pray for our nation. And we pray for those mothers out there, the babies they're carrying in their womb. And that, Lord, they don't know what to do. It is a scary time for them. And I pray that you'd minister your peace in their life, bring Christians into their life. Lord, may we as the church be faithful to love and to show that love. I pray for the protection of those who have stood up for life and truth. I pray, Father, for those pregnancy care centers, that God, you would equip them and provide the staff that they need, the funds that they need, that they might show your answer, show your truth to many, many people. Lord, we are in your hands, and we know that. We know that you are sovereign and in control, and we are blessed to know that. God, as we wrap up our time together today, we celebrate you. That's the best place we can be. Our hands upraised. You are our God. You're in control, and we know we can trust you.